낙화유증에 수류수 하고 유수 무증에 송하라 하느니라. 낙화유증에 수류수하고 유수무증에 송하라 이르다. The fallen flowers drift away with a longing on the flowing water. The flowing water carries the fallen flowers away without a care. The fallen flowers drift away with a longing on the flowing water. The flowing water carries the fallen flowers away without a care. I'd like to dwell on Haemyeong Sunim or Haewol Sunim a little bit more. Haewol Sunim, he too wanted to raise innocent Buddha like him, maybe not quite like him, but person to Buddha. So he had a 12-year-old boy with him. So, and in the morning, he would greet him, and he would serve him with breakfast. When he goes to the marketplace, then he would report to him respectfully. So this monk from Songgangsa, when he first saw that, that was kind of strange. It should be the other way around. And the conversation with the monk from Songgangsa, well, said, "What brought you here?" And this, and he came, "Well, I came here to train under your guidance." "What training?" "Well, that's Changsheng." And then also he refers to good practitioners as Buddhas. So the Buddhas at Songgangsa Temple, when they practice meditation, are they standing up or sitting down? He said, "Of course, sitting down." And then said, "The Buddhas of Songgangsa must have had knee injuries." So all this kind of conversation is a little dumbfound. So that's the strategy without any strategy is like to make them go blank, you see. And I think it's a these days, I think I read somewhere back, it's to help someone go blank, helps actually, you know, for their brain or something like that. I think there's some kind of a therapy they are developing about that. So, and then it's when this boy talks to Hewol Senim, he does not do it respectfully, so it's just like treat him, you know, as his inferior, you see. something like, "Well, okay, you go and don't be late," and something like that. So when this monk from Songgangsa saw that, he was very puzzled, so, and also outrageous, you see. So after Harrison left for the marketplace, he decided he, you know, this Hengja, this young novice monk, need to be a little bit disciplined, you know. So I have to teach him, you know, how to behave, you know. So he said, called him that. Well, first this boy said, "Well, how come you don't come and greet me formally and respectfully like, you know, my teacher does?" So anyway, almost in so forcefully, actually, he finally succeeded in subduing this boy, and then, you know, and then actually taught him how, what is the proper behavior, and then to serve his teacher and all that. So when Hewol Senim returned from the marketplace, and completely unusual things were happening, and this boy comes out and greet him, you know. And then eventually he realized what happened, and he severely scolded the monk from Songgangsa, and he ruined my training, this innocent Buddha, you see. Now I cannot keep him here anymore, so you have to take responsibility and take him with you. So, and he was the only Sun master I've known who never meditated at sitting down, you know. He was always standing up and doing something. So when he passed away, when he died, true to his spirit, he died, he passed away standing, holding, you know, pine tree. So this is called the Jatal Imman. You know, it's usually expected way of Sun masters or good practitioners die is you die while sitting up, you know, stay awake. You see. And then, but really, some people they check out, they transpire while standing, you know, but that's very rare. But he was, he did that while pine, he was still, until the minute he passed away, he was collecting pine cones for, you know, starting fire, you see. And that was, his bag was full of pine cones. And there are a couple of other anecdotes. There's this belief that if eminent monks or virtuous monks, perform the 49th ceremony service for the family, is kind of a good thing. It's a merit accrued, you know, and given to the deceased persons for the next life. So this rich family made such a request to the 49th day service for their deceased relative, so gave him a lot of money. And then he would go to the marketplace and buy, you know, vegetables and all the fruits and the king and all these kinds of things that would be placed on the table for the ceremony, for the service. So on his way to the marketplace, he saw this woman crying on the street. So why are you crying? And she was crying, and then said, her husband served as a guarantor for the loan. His friends were took out, you see. So he was unable to pay the loan until the time. So this. What is kind of a, not loan shark, but
pawn shop? Pawn shop?
Yeah, anyway, it's money lenders, you know. So the money lender came after her family, and then, you know, and so they lost everything. Oh, is that right? So, well, here's the money, you can help yourself, you know. So, and then he went back to his temple, and then so the monks at the temple thought, well, what happened? There was no shopping. Well, I already finished the service for the ninth day. So later when the family learned that, and they were not upset, and they understood that, and then they, thought that's also a good thing, in a way, you know, the marriage would go to the deceased, and then pay the, themselves with the other monks went to the shopping to buy those things. And on another occasion, quite a similar things happened. And this time, he's the most senior disciple, that's, Unyang Sunim, Unang Sunim, something like that. So by that time, he was aging, and I should not use say it. That sounds like ageism, right? So it's this was a really is someone he met someone on the street. Well, this person doesn't have any legs, you know, and also only one arm, you know. So it was, and then also he was quite ill. So and his disciple went ahead to collect things so that, you know, well, Sunim, when you come, you bring the money. So and then he just gave him the money, to hold the money. So they were waiting and waiting, and then finally they realized what happened. You know. So things like that, they just, their mind go blank. You know. in one way or another. And there's further story about what happened to this boy whom he intended to turn into, you know, kind of another innocent Buddha. But now there was this Chenggang Sunim. Chenggang Sunim was not a contemporary of Haewol Sunim, because he was born in 1898, so it's a little later. Chenggang Sunim lost his parents while he was still young, and then he, after his parents passed away, he visited the close relatives for help and for shelter or for food. And initially, you know, they were very sympathetic and responded and provided him shelter and food. But even, but they too, they were not very well off. So then he became kind of a street kid, you know, like a beggar, kind of a tramp. And so this was when he was, he entered the monastery when he was 14, so he must have been 11 or 12 years old when he had to do many things just simply to survive. And something like, well, he did a pilfery, and he helped at the blacksmith, you know, using barrels. And then he also mobile vendor for brasswares and all kinds of things, you know, to bring him some kind of food. And then eventually he made it into a Buddhist temple, and then there he became monk. And there was a Jaesan Sunim. Eventually he was, he became his Jaesan Sunim's disciple at the Chikchisa temple. And there he was given Hwadu Mu. So he was working on Jojo, Chao Chu's Mu. That's a dog, have a Buddha nature, Mu. And he has been working very hard. And also his health was failing too. And to make matters worse, he contracted the Sangha. If you practice with a great enthusiasm and too fast, and then that he'd rise up, you know, instead of staying down, you know. So that's called a sangye, or sun or meditation disease. It can be quite serious, you know. And so he got instructions from some monk to do a lot of, you know, walking meditations and physical exercise. So he got cured over that, and then there's this monastery called the Goksung Tiansa, that's very close to his hometown. And this used to be one of the centers of meditation, but by that time it was very run down. Not many monks left over there. But it's there's about 5 miles. Because I visited this monastery quite a few times. It's very, very beautiful. And initially, when I first visited this, the road was not paved. It must have been paved by now. But it's dirt road, and the cars cannot go. You can just have to walk. You have to be on foot. And it's very beautiful, you know, it's a meandering way to reach the temple. So there, he was practicing out in the mountain, not at the temple complex, compound. So, and then suddenly, he became completely, he could not tell him from the surroundings, you know, or from the world. So completely at one with the surroundings. So he came to freedom, and then he felt so good and happy and joyful. He has he had a very good voice, and also I was told he was very good for making pancakes, for cooking. And also he was good at making raw wine, makgeolli, chapsal makgeolli, using sweet rice. So he was dancing and singing pretty much all night, and finally at the dawn, he arrived at the Tiansa, and then there are stairs, and then there are Daeongjang, the main Buddha hall. So he was so happy, he wanted to make a special offering to the Buddhas. So he pulled down his pants and started leaking, because that's the best offering he can offer to. So around that time, the monks who just finished the breakfast, they came up. Usually after breakfast, they come out with the broom to sweep the yard. And he saw this guy, you know, pulling his pants down and taking leak, you know, and urinating. And so they are dumbfounded and then got upset and then angry, you know, and with the broom. And he said, this whole world is full of Buddhas. Well, you tell me the place where there are no Buddhas so that I could take a good leap. And after that, if anyone asked questions, you know, it's like, well, challenged him. What he said was, Panchi Sengmo, which means hair on wooden teeth. Yes. That's what it says. So that's good enough to make people go blank. So Panchi Sengmo. And then the other thing And then the other thing, he was promoting, you know, the Buddha meditation culture. He said, anadevo, that means at the drop of the word, great awakening. So you don't allow people to finish their sentences. You see, as soon as the word drops, that if you don't wake up, that's too bad. Chong